Midday 180. Queued up by Edley's Barbecue with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Midday 180. Second half of the show is here. The crew all here. Alongside Chad Withrow in Mount Juliet. Paul Kuharski is in Brentwood. I'm Jonathan Hutton in Murfreesboro. David Reed making the show happen for us in Nashville. Coming up in roughly 10 minutes, David Poile, Predators general manager, will be with us live from Edmonton as the Predators, they'll face the Dallas Stars. Exhibition today, this afternoon, 3 p.m., Fox Sports Tennessee. Of course, Sunday is game one, the play-in round, the qualifier, Predators and Coyotes. Guys, Major League Baseball was so upset with the players for the Astros for cheating that they've suspended Joe Kelly 8 games, 13% of the season.
Outrageous. People should keep hitting them and taking the punishment. Let public outrage and
well, they're not going to do it now. I mean, this is a clear message from Major League Baseball that we are not to be messed with on this. We gave their punishment. The punishment's over, and you're not going to have vigilante justice on this team. And if so, we're going to give you more games than you deserve for it. I think it's a clear message to everyone, and it's going to stop now because of 8 games. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Do it anyway.
That Joe Kelly gets 8 games.
Do it
anyway. It's easy for you to say. Okay, your best pitchers go out there and do it.
I'm not playing for the Yankees. I'm not playing the Astros this year. Who's the worst team in that division that's got no chance? Hit them 3 nights in a row.
Too bad the Orioles don't play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our guy Cody Carroll, who throws very hard, could be the sacrificial lamb. To go out there and start beating guys.
I'm serious. I would call around to that team. I would offer money behind the scenes. I would say I'll pay, you know, if I'm Garrett Cole, not Garrett Cole, the wrong guy. If I'm Aaron Judge, I would offer you a family vacation in the offseason. You take care of our business for us.
To me, a lot of it also has to do with Joe Kelly. I do find it a bit bizarre that it took 6 innings for this to happen, and it took a pitcher who wasn't even on the team when this took place to go at the Astros and take care of the justice for the Dodgers. I mean,
he was on the Red Sox who lost to the Astros. It's not like he was uninvolved.
No, but the Dodgers feel the most slighted from that World Series matchup.
So he's fueling into that as a Red Sox who was also a victim.
And not one incident through the first 5 innings of this game.
Well, what was the score?
Who was the pitcher? Who was the starter that night?
3-1, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, I look at it also as who was.
I'm not going to pretend that I watched the game. I watched the highlights of Joe Kelly, who joined this team as a free agent, throwing at the Astros. Look, I'm all for it, but part of it has to do with Kelly's history. He's been in fights. He's thrown and plunked dudes in the ribs before, and he's been suspended for it. So, I mean, he's just known as this guy. And it just so happens that he pitches for the Dodgers and they're playing the Astros. He's all for going at him. In fact, he put on Instagram after the suspension, the Conor McGregor apology, quote unquote, from the UFC, where he's like, I'd like to officially apologize to absolutely bleeping no one. He put that on Instagram after the suspension. I mean, it's classic Joe Kelly, but it's also a guy who has a history of doing this.
Look, I would typically hate this guy. You guys know me. I would hate him.
Well, he went after Aaron Judge.
I love him. He's got me. He had me at hello.
You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of that pit. Was it the Michigan pitcher against Vandy, Chad?
No, Louisville.
Yeah. Louisville.
That's exactly who I thought of. Skinny guy, kind of punkish looking, got the glasses.
Talking to the batter.
Also, the whole thing reminded me of that guy, too. Yeah, that's a great one. An Oral Hershiser with a line to end all lines.
Yeah.
Jose Altuve strikes out looking. After the play-by-play guy has the call, Oral Hershiser calmly says, well, guessing is harder than knowing about Jose Altuve, which is great. Oral Hershiser has been money on this story every night, just completely going after the Astros. Now, I am curious if we're going to get fatigued every team and every broadcaster, like John McClain said, piling on the Astros. And also, I really can't wait with Paul and how strong he is against this until we find out what the Yankees are trying to bury in court that someone investigated about them or that they know, because the Astros are not the only ones. I can guarantee you that. I don't know that the Yankees are one of the ones, and I'm not going to sit here and completely pile on the Astros because the Braves may be a team that's cheated in the past to some degree, but this is not the end of this story. There are other teams out there that are like the Astros.
I think you are probably right. I would suspect, however, that none has been as outlandish and bold and in your face as the Astros. You know what I mean?
Well, we certainly don't have John Boy, you know, with YouTube highlights and videos of sounds coming from the dugout of any other team.
Yeah. And John Boy would have found them, right?
But I do think all the clubhouses had all these TVs in the clubhouse you could go watch, all the camera angles. I mean, we're seeing the camera angles for Major League Baseball through like the Sportsnet feed that they're sending individual broadcasts who are brought, like the visiting broadcasters who are staying home at the home ballpark to call the game. They have like 30 different cameras they can look at any point.
Right. But they're not supposed to have them in the dugout.
That's what I'm saying. They may not be banging on a drum, but they're all looking at something behind the scenes.
There are other things going on. I don't buy that guy from Houston that put out the video of that Barstool Sports picked up with the Yankees guy very suspect. Doesn't even sound like a playoff game. Just the surrounding of it is very weird. But there's other things going on. And I, for one, can't wait for the day when it's the Yankees that are in the crosshairs and Paul has to come on air. We're going to make Paul every day bash him the way he's bashing the Astros for it.
I just love that. I feared that this would have passed over. You know what I mean? Because of the Corona delay.
I know what you're saying. I
haven't forgotten about it.
Well, the disappointment is they're not having to face.
The disappointment is the wrong guys are getting punished.
Well, no, they're not having to face the crowds on the road. That's the disappointment.
Oh, yeah, that would have been fun, too.
Well, that's still to come. I mean, it's not. They will have the fans will have their justice at some point as well.
Right. It'll be more pent up than ever.
Oh,
right. Yeah. I mean, fans watching this, watching Joe Kelly, what are they thinking? They're thinking.
Oh, he's a hero.
It's only
in LA.
Building up more, right? It's going to be stretched out now for longer. This is not good for the Astros. I'm following an Astros hatred account that's a lot of fun on Twitter. It captures every single thing that relates to this in a negative way for the Astros is captured by this Twitter account, and it's got a pretty good follow.
We always enjoy our conversations with Predators general manager David Poile. He's going to join us next. Exhibition game this afternoon. Against Dallas. They're playing, of course, in the bubble in Edmonton. That's where David will join us. And then coming up in roughly 20 minutes from now, we will listen in to the press conference media availability over Zoom with Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill. David Poile next, Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. This is 104.5 The Zone.
Let's go. The NHL is back, and the Predators are returning to the ice in a best-of-five Stanley Cup qualifier series against the Arizona Coyotes. Get instant Preds playoff reaction, not to mention that you'll get to react to it here before anywhere else on your home for the best Predators coverage. 104.5 The Zone.
And Stars this afternoon. That's right. There is hockey today. Fox Sports Tennessee, 3:00. They drop the puck. And then, of course, the qualifying round. Predators and Coyotes begin on Sunday. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue as we say hello to Predators general manager David Poile. Great to see you, David.
Good to be seen. Finally, hockey. Who would have called this? July 30th, and we're ready to go. We've had the pleasure to watch a lot of games the last couple of nights here, days, three games yesterday. The latest I have been at 12:30 last night, the latest I've been up since March the 12th. So I got to get my regular season hours going here. So it's been good. The teams all look good. Everybody's psyched up. Everybody thinks they have a chance to win the cup. So this is a pretty exciting time.
Did you win some sort of lottery, or how did it work that the Predators lucked into the Marriott, the main hotel that's connected to everything and where you get the best points, we all know?
It's by performance. The last win in Montreal got us the sixth seed. Six teams are in the Marriott, six other teams are in the Sutton. So
you had no idea how valuable that was.
Well, it is, and everything is by merit here. For example, like on this is a very nice hotel. And on the floor where you have your meal rooms or what have you, again, the biggest meal room, it goes to St. Louis. The second biggest one goes to, I think, Colorado or Vegas. And so it's like Edmonton and ourselves have the smallest meal room. The rooms in the hotel, we're all on the same floors, but the suites are higher up. So St. Louis, for example, has all the suites and we have the regular rooms. And I think that's totally, totally fair.
That's terrific.
For example, the first today there's six dressing rooms. We're in the sixth dressing room today, sixth in size. When we play Arizona in our first game, we're actually the home team and we will be in Edmonton's home room for that game. So it's all based on merit. And I think that's totally the way to do it.
David, have you had a chance to explore the bubble and see the accommodations and different activities and different things going on there in Edmonton?
I've not left the hotel or Rogers Arena, which is attached, which again, you can go outside. They have a very nice, I guess they would call it the yard. They call it like the Shank Shack Redemption, the yard. They're calling it that, where you can hang out. The weather's been beautiful here. And yeah, there's fences outside the hotel that you can walk. It's two or three blocks to the two other hotels. Like we're going to go have a dinner. On Friday. Friday's probably going to be a day off tomorrow, and we're going to go there. So, but honestly, everybody's been outside. But I don't know. I'm going to break it today. I have not been outside since we got here on Sunday. So my routine is to just go into the hotel, and then I'm in the hotel, and then go downstairs where it's connected to the Rogers Arena, and go into the Rogers Arena. And I've been in there plenty.
The good news is it does sound like the accommodations at the JW Marriott slightly better than Shawshank Prison. From the movie. So that's good. But you both have a yard, so that's also a positive.
Absolutely. They did an unbelievable job. I can't believe it. I mean, whoever, A+ to the league, the PA, Edmonton, for putting this on, all the protocols, the testing, how it's all laid out every day. The meals have been great. The players have these really nice lounges in the Edmonton, which is the newest building in the league. And of course, it's just a huge, huge building. They got ping pong in there. There's some golf simulators that are set up around the concourse. So I tried a few shots there yesterday afternoon, but I got mad at the guy. My drives were only like 170 yards. So I said, the machine must be off. So, anyway, it's all good.
David Poile with us. Should we discuss the exhibition game at all or go straight to Arizona with you? Like, how big is this game tonight in terms of just trying to get into the flow of things?
Well, I think you get to try out a lot of things that you were trying at training camp, and there's going to be some things that we're going to do that are going to be a little bit different than the regular season. You know, practice, as I say, is one thing, but there's no substitute for the games. So, you know, we're basically going to play our lineup. That's what everybody has pretty well done here. I mean, again, you don't have any room for error. In other words, you can't say, well, maybe we shouldn't play Roman Josi tonight because, you know, something could happen. But I don't think you can go with that philosophy. So it's important. I mean, it's not everything, but I mean, I felt watching other teams play the other night, you know, you learn a lot about what they're trying to do or how good their team is. Again, it's a start. I know there's no points in this game, but I certainly hope that we, as I say, have play a winning, healthy game today.
The plan to see both goalies because of the exhibition game today?
Yeah, I believe that's going to be the plan today. I think that's the right thing to do. And then obviously John will make the big decision that everybody's waiting for when we play in game one on Arizona on Sunday.
So, yeah, the game one Sunday with Arizona. I had mentioned earlier in the week about the first goal playing a significant role, at least to me, with the style of hockey that the Coyotes will want to play. Do you agree with that? You know, if they get the first goal, can they sit back on their style a bit more than usual?
Yeah, I think so. And again, I think with us, the first goal is it's hugely important too for the way we want to play. And I think we can defend really well under what John now has put into our lineup. So again, if we can get some offense and get going, I think we could be in really good shape to do that. So it's, who knows? It's a short series. I mean, it's not the 4-7. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, you win that first game, you're going to have great confidence and hopefully momentum. And if it doesn't go well, you know, the pressure is going to be on.
How closely have you followed the situation with the front office in Arizona and what's been going on recently with that?
You know, all there's 12 GMs here. So, you know, you get to see everybody since six are in the hotel and we see each other at the games. It's been a little bit of a, you know, gossipy type of a situation. I guess we know about as much as what we've read. It's hard to say who's right here in this situation. I do know that John Chaitka was a big part of bringing the new ownership into Arizona, and obviously they had a really good relationship, which was reflected by the fact that they gave him a new, what was it, 3 or 4 year extension. So you know, you can certainly see where there's going to be a difficult situation to probably understand, you know, both sides here, why he wanted to leave. And I know the ownership is in shock. So let's see how it plays out.
And what do you think about your former player, Steve Sullivan, getting a chance now as a general manager?
Yeah, pretty good. I actually haven't seen Sully. That's probably the only guy I haven't seen, but you know, good for him. He was working, you know, real hard in Arizona, sort of like kind of the setup that we have here. Like one of Scott Nichols, our general manager in Milwaukee, and our head of our, you know, our younger players in terms of development. They were sort of doing the same jobs. They were teammates in Chicago before we got Sully. Then they were teammates here in Nashville. So it's good to see young guys and former Predators get an opportunity.
He got off to a big start when he landed in Nashville. So you got to hope he doesn't get off to a big start with his new job in Arizona.
I know that was he got a hat trick in his first game. That's one of those things in the GM's life where you're sitting there watching the game, and go, this trade could work out all right, you know. So yeah, I agree with you, Paul. That better not happen.
What are your keys to the series coming up? What should we watch for beginning on Sunday?
You know, the end result, I think, in a shorter series, and you know, goaltending has to be a key factor. Last night, I watched a game with Winnipeg playing. So three games last night. I'm trying to see Vancouver. I thought Vancouver played very well, but Hellebuck just was phenomenal. He didn't give them any chance, and when Winnipeg sort of got their legs, if you will, got some goals, so that, you know, that gives them a real good chance to win. So goaltending is going to have to be important. I know Arizona's goaltending was, you know, as good as any's in the league until they're actually, both their goaltenders got hurt there. They're actually in first place, and now they're healthy, and we're going to see the best of them for sure. That's number one. I think special teams are going to play a role in this. Again, our special teams have not been where we wanted them to be in the last couple of years. There's been some adjustments in our special teams during this training camp period of time, some new looks. So I'm really hoping that we can make a difference on our special teams. But usually there's a hero that comes from every series. It's not necessarily a guy in the first line. It could be that big goal that you get from the third or fourth line. So I'm open-minded for whatever we might get it from. But I know the bottom line is our guys are excited and they're ready to play.
Reading quotes from both the coach, John Hines, and a player in Ryan Johansson, both mentioned the word fast and speed. Playing fast, team speed, being a key in what the Preds want to do in this series. Is that a possible advantage with Arizona in the team speed that you possess right now?
Well, I think we're trying to play a faster game. I mean, that's the definition that is, for me, there's like two definitions. It's fast skaters, and then the other one is kind of a combination of your skating and your execution. You're moving the puck, making good passes, having good positional plays. I respect Arizona's speed, so I think in a lot of ways that, you know, we have to be wary of that, and I think maybe we need to take it up a notch from how we were playing. And again, that's been a big part of the training camp in terms of the drills that we've been doing and how we wanted to play the game. So hopefully that translates to at least be their equal in speed and quickness, and maybe even we could be the quicker team, which would certainly give us an advantage.
No games for the Preds in the last 100, well, whenever you actually play, 45 days, 145 days. Everyone's healthy across the league now, feeling fresh. But I'm curious, knowing that, but also knowing you have, whenever the series starts, 3 games in 4 days after playing no games for 145 days, potentially how many different players could we see suit up in those 3 games?
Yeah, good question. And I think it's a factor of a couple of things, obviously, which you touched on a little bit, being healthier, having injuries or what have you. So knock on wood on that. And the second part of that is, are we up 2-0? Are we 1-1? Are we down 0-2? I mean, that's going to completely change, if you will, or any thought process of, I don't want to say resting a player, but saying maybe we should make a couple of lineup changes to be fresh and, you know, in game three. And it probably goes the same way with however the goaltending plays out in the first couple of games. So it's, you know, it hasn't been for a long, long time that NHL has played anything other than, you know, every other day type of a scenario in the playoffs. So 3 games in 4 days coming out of a situation of 2 weeks of training camp, that's going to be hard. So once again, you've got to get off to a good start, and winning that first game, the second game, is going to be huge in terms of where you're going to be in terms of how you play the third game.
David, the cliffhanger with our visit with you the last time we chatted was how you would pack for a possible 2-month stay. How light did you travel?
Not light, but so far so good. Except of course now I'm gonna wear my suit for the game. But what did I forget? Go ahead. So I'm just getting dressed. What did I forget?
Your tie?
My belt.
Oh, your belt. Okay.
So I got a belt, a mask. So, you know,
currently David is not wearing a tie either. So I'm looking at this.
Well, we talked about where the management is going to go with just a suit with no tie. It's going to be a change.
Okay.
Maybe the first NHL game I've ever gone to that I haven't worn a tie. That probably is a true statement. How about that?
I love the level of coordination, by the way, that you've already discussed the wardrobe. You're going business casual and not straight business
now, David,
with the no tie.
Now you have to mandate no belts for anyone either.
Well, that's just our secret. I mean, we don't want that out there. I have a leisurely belt. I don't have my dress belt.
Okay.
Just hear me out on this, David. Next step, one word, suspenders for all of management. That's what we're going with next.
That might be a good change. Might be a good change. I mean, but again, we can't go shopping or anything like mm-hmm. that, you know, so we're a little limited. I don't think a belt is going to just fly in here tomorrow for me.
You're talking to two guys who haven't worn jeans or pants in like 5 months. So we're in shorts every day here broadcasting from home. So
once again, too much information.
Well, we are wearing shorts. We should clarify.
Yes,
no
yes.
pants, but we are wearing shorts. So don't be.
Hey, David, thank you. We appreciate the time today. And here's hoping whenever we chat next Thursday, things are looking up in that series. And we're looking ahead to the opening round after the qualifying round.
One day at a time. Let's have a good game today. Right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.
David Poile has been our guest. Always great catching up there. Paul has just jumped off of this Zoom call because he's entered the call with Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill, who is currently talking to the local media.
Here in 2020.
Hey, what are you doing now? I mean, what's the first start? What's the camp start look like for you right now compared to previous years?
I mean, X's and O's wise, it's, you know, getting back into it, you know, your day one install. You know, being a little different that we're not going out and practicing, you know, normally in camp you have, you know, a day of conditioning, and then conditioning test the next day you're in helmets and you're practicing. So obviously a little slower start physically for us, but we're jumping in mentally, in the meetings, in walkthroughs, making sure that everyone's on top of the details. And that way, when we do go full speed, we'll be able to do it fast and do it effectively.
Teron.
Ryan, as far as the difference between last year and this year from a personnel standpoint, you and your familiarity with a lot of the guys, how much has that, you know, helped you, and how much do you see that help you this upcoming season?
Well, it's huge. Anytime you have continuity from year to year, it helps a lot. You know, the league, your team usually changes a whole lot from year to year, and and we do have change. But like I said, bringing back a lot of familiar faces is a good thing. You know, we're jumping back into the same offense with some minor adjustments, and you know, really able to lock in on smaller details that we never got to last year. You know, we're able to fine tune things to a point that we weren't able to push things last year. So if we can do that throughout the season and keep pushing forward, you know, it's only going to help us. We have a ton of banked reps with the guys that are going to be lining up. And, you know, when you have that familiarity, the comfortability with the guy that's beside you, the guy you're throwing to, the guy who's handing you the ball, then, you know, hopefully it helps you.
And if you look at all the top quarterbacks across the league, usually there's an outstanding play caller that's tagged with them. You and Arthur Smith, you guys have obviously been on the same page. You've commented on that before. But how much better can that get this year with you having that continuity and that year together tucked away?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, just like, you know, players get better over time with each other, you know, play callers and quarterbacks, it works the same way. So, you know, excited about Art and his second year calling the offense and just the growth that we've had over the spring. Just over Zoom, you know, we're able to do a lot of things. I feel like really grow as an offense, even though we weren't physically together. So, you know, if we can keep doing that, keep pushing the envelope forward here as we head into training camp and the season, and it's going to really help us out a lot.
Eric?
Hey, Ryan. I was just curious about your relationship with Logan Woodside. Have you taken on any kind of mentorship role at all there just with him? You know, a young quarterback looking to cement the role for himself with the team?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I feel like I like quarterback rooms to be close. You know, you spend a lot of time together over the course of a season, throughout meetings, practice, walkthroughs. I mean, you're pretty much around each other all day, every day. So it's great whenever you can have a relationship and really get along. And Logan and I have gotten along great since I came in last year. You know, I've always tried to – is that Vrabel out here? I've always tried to help the young guys as much as I can, just because we're all on the same team, we're all in this thing together. So if I can impart some knowledge that I've learned along the way and help a younger guy, then I'm going to try to do that. And there's things that Logan has helped me with. I mean, it works both ways. You know, Logan's watching a ton of tape during season, and it was really another set of eyes for me throughout the season last year. So yeah, it's part of helping each other out is it works both ways.
Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill speaking with the media on 104.5 The Zone.
Hey, Ryan. Question for you. Obviously, you had you know, tremendous numbers in a number of different categories last year, career best in different categories, which I guess might lead to some naysayers saying, you know, it's you know, it couldn't happen again. He's due for a fallback. Wondering if you hear those kind of things and sort of, you know, what your response is, and do you think you're capable of putting up similar types of numbers, you know, in a number of different categories as you did last year?
Yeah, I mean, I only really hear about it when I get asked about it in situations like this. I don't do a whole lot of reading or spend much time on social media or anything like that. So, you know, to really answer your question, my process doesn't change. You know, how I go about getting ready for a season, getting ready for a football game, how I work in practice and prepare, that process doesn't change. So I'm doing everything I can to play the best football I can. And, you know, whatever happens after that happens. But, you know, I'm excited, like I said, about the opportunity to have and the guys that we have on this football team. And I feel like, you know, we have a lot of things working for us, and it can really be a good year for us.
Paul Kaharski.
Good to see you, Ryan. I know he wouldn't even be in the building had he reported on time, but you're the veteran leader of this team now and the newest, biggest veteran acquisition. Disappeared for a couple of days and now told the GM he'll report soon. Vrabel told us the other day you can't avoid distractions. You can only kind of manage them. How do you guys manage something like Vic Beasley being on his own time schedule?
Well, I mean, honestly, I didn't find out about it until yesterday. I'm not sure when the whole process started, but found out about it yesterday. And yeah, I'm aware of it, but it doesn't affect our day-to-day here in the facility. Like I said, he wouldn't even be here at this point. And we can't let it affect what happens in this building. You know, we still have to take care of the work that we need to get done while we're here. And once those guys come in, you know, he'll be a few days behind, or I'm not sure when he's going to come. But if he wants to be here, then yeah, we want him here. And once he's here, hopefully he's all in and jumps on board with us.
There's some potential.
That's Ryan Tannehill. We will hear more from him in just a moment, plus Logan Woodside and his media availability. Midday 180 queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. The Midday 180 queued up by Edley's Barbecue online, edleysbbq.com. You can download the Edley's app to place your curbside order, and they deliver through Postmates. Again, edleysbbq.com. We will now check back in with Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill, who is speaking to the local media for the first time during training camp.
Kind of present a whole different animal as far as a level of safety and concern for you?
Yeah, definitely, you know, it's a different feel. You know, when you think about being on a football field together, you know, sweating and blocking and tackling each other, and I'm not sure what all the on-field precautions are, but it's football. So at some point you're going to be in close proximity, you know, breathing on each other and stuff like that. So yeah, that's a bridge that we're going to have to cross and navigate, you know, as it comes up. It's definitely another level than what we're experiencing now, just being in the building and, you know, being able to wear a mask and stay apart. So yeah, I think we're going to have to figure out what works best and how do we prepare ourselves and get done what we need to while, you know, being conscious and safe at the same time.
And then given that is you basically will have a month together on the field before the first actual game with no preseason games. Is that going to be enough time, do you believe, to be game ready come week one?
Yeah, it'll be a little bit different. You know, obviously no preseason games, it'll be new for everybody. But I feel like, yeah, it's enough time to really get done what we need to get done. You know, our practices are a lot of times just as intense as a preseason game. So, you know, excited about the work that we have in front of us and the opportunity. So just a matter of guys taking it day by day and getting the most out of each day.
Terry McCormick.
Terry?
I'm here. There we go. Ryan, back to Logan Woodside a little bit. Obviously, there's no substitute for experience, but with him being a guy who's bounced around, been around a couple of years, but hasn't yet appeared in an NFL game, and with no preseason this year, what are some of the things that you can do and to maybe help him to understand what goes into playing quarterback in an actual NFL game as he prepares to be your backup?
Yeah. So, I mean, he was here last year. You know, he saw the way I prepared. We spent a lot of time together, you know, going through thumb study, going through, you know, how we work in practice, what we're working through, what we're working on, why we're working on things. So he's very inquisitive last year, asked a lot of great questions, and I feel like grew a lot, even though he wasn't out there practicing with us, you know, with him being on IR. So, you know, he wasn't on the field, but I feel like he really got a lot out of last year, and so far he's carrying that into 2020.
Buck.
Hey, Ryan. Drew Brees was talking yesterday or a couple days ago about habits he'll have to change that have been a part of his routine. Every time he takes a snap, in essence, he licks his hand so he gets a little more tackiness, a little better grip on the ball. Stuff like that obviously going to have to be adjusted. Do you have any habits like that that are so ingrained into your pre-snap or game day process that you're going to have to adjust?
Yeah, I'll occasionally lick my fingers, you know, not as often as Drew does, but I do it, you know, periodically throughout the game. So going to have to adjust that as well.
John Burton.
Hey, Ryan, how you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Just curious to know what your expectations might be for A.J. Brown in year two. It seemed like you guys really got some good chemistry going, and it seems like, you know, this guy could be a superstar in the making. You don't want to get too far ahead. Just curious what your thoughts on AJ Brown is and are rather, and what your expectations might be.
Yeah, I'm excited to get to call him a teammate. You know, he's a guy who is extremely talented. We saw that last year. Coming into year two, he's hungry. He's excited about the opportunity we have. He's worked extremely hard this offseason, and you know, just having him here in the building has been great the last few days. As we're able to talk through some things and on the field and really detail some things as well. So he's running really well right now, and excited to see what he does this year.
Last year, the mindset of the team was finding a way to going from good to great. As far as 2020 is concerned, what does great mean to you? And as a leader, how do you help the team get there?
Yeah, it's taking the next step. You know, I feel like obviously if you're going purely on our goals, you know, last year we came up 2 wins shy of what our ultimate goal is. You know, every year you set out to win the division and ultimately win a Super Bowl. You know, that's why we put in all the work that we do is to win. So, you know, obviously that's the ultimate goal, but you can't think about that. You know, you think about the daily process of what you need to accomplish and taking the next step in the offense. Our defense will take the next step in the defense and, you know, just doing a better job more consistently throughout the whole year. You know, last year got off to a slow start. It took a while to find our stride. You know, we need to come off to a little bit better start this year and be able to not have to back ourselves down into a corner to fight out. You know, it'd be nice to come out and play well early in the year.
I've got a few more left. Kayla?
Hey, Ryan, hope you're doing well. Just in the past couple of days, there's been a lot of big names who have decided to opt out of the season. You surprised by any of that? And was there any time or any point that you contemplated maybe, you know, going down that road?
No, I'm not too surprised. You know, obviously it's a big risk playing this game in a standard year, with just the mental and physical stress that it puts on you and opportunities to be injured, then you add in something that could have long-term effects, and especially if people have any underlying conditions. So I'm not surprised by guys opting out. I personally didn't really give a whole lot of thought to it, just due to the fact that I have a healthy family, wife and kids, don't have any underlying issues that should make them at a higher risk. Wasn't really on my plate, but I really don't fault guys for, you know, thinking about, you know, not only their health, but their family's health as well.
A couple of follow-up questions and then we'll get out of here. John Glennon.
Yeah, Ryan, I know you touched on Logan Woodside a little bit, but as far as the football player himself, what do you like about him? What strengths does he bring? And, you know, what makes him what appears to be a viable candidate for the number two for you guys?
Yeah, he loves the game. He loves preparing. He loves, you know, everything about it. And, you know, I love playing with guys like that who enjoy playing the game, enjoy the grind, the daily grind, the preparation, the hard work. You know, he's been a guy like that since day one. He's accurate. He can make all the throws. And I feel like, you know, mentally he's mastering this offense just from being in it for a few years now. So, I feel like he has all the tools needed. It's just a matter of, you know, going out and making it happen.
Jim Wyatt.
Ryan, got two in the running back room for you. I know you were really, supportive of Derek and wanting to see him get a new deal. How happy were you that worked out, and what'd you say to him?
Yeah, I was really excited. You know, like I said before, you know, I thought, you know, he deserved it and was really happy for him to finally get signed on. So yeah, congratulated him and you know, excited to have him back not only for this year but for years to come.
And have you spent much time or conversation with Darrington Evans, and how excited are you to see maybe what he can bring to the offense and his role?
Yeah, I'm really excited about Darrington. You know, I was able to throw with him down in Florida several times over the off season, and obviously he's been here as well. So just a talented guy. He's very explosive, very fast, great at catching the football. Really natural. When you see a running back catch the ball naturally, whether they're coming out of the backfield or split out wide, It definitely adds another element to the offense and can give defenses a hard time. So really excited about having Darrington with us.
Last one for you, Teron.
Ryan, as a guy who, you know, was a bio major, at some point had aspirations of being an orthopedic surgeon. When you look at this ramp up period to get ready for actually playing in games and for you having suffered a non-contact injury, how important is that ramp up period as far as, you know, being able to, you know, get ready to get going on game day?
It's huge. You know, I'm really excited that and happy that we got this worked out where we could have the extended ramp up period. Just the fact of playing football is different. You know, you can train, you can lift weights, you can run. But, you know, talk to any guy, you know, football shape is different. So just being able to work our way back into it a little bit, a little more slowly than a traditional training camp, I feel like is huge and is really going to help a lot of guys stay healthy, you know, throughout the season.
There are the first comments of the Titans training camp from quarterback Ryan Tannehill. Coming up, we will hear from the new backup quarterback. Well, he's been on the roster, but now he's the number two QB in the locker room. Logan Woodside next on the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.